You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker, and this episode is being released on November 3rd, 2022. And this week, we've got something new and different. I have someone joining me this week. Christopher Gardana is here. He's a good friend of mine who preaches out in West Texas. And this is my first time having someone on the podcast, and actually my first time hosting a Zoom meeting or chat or whatever this is. So this is an experiment for me, and he was nice enough to join me here and see how this goes. So Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited. Also new for me. So this is definitely a new experience. So thanks for the opportunity to come on and discuss some Bible topics.
Well, I think we're going to have a good discussion. I've been wanting to talk with you on some of these things, some of these that we talk about here on the podcast. And you're always good about, you know, sending ideas and everything. So I know that this is going to be, you know, you're the right one to have on here. So I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you.
But this week we're talking about modern day idols. We often think of idols in terms of graven images that are made of stone or wood or something like that. But really anything that would replace God or challenge God as the place that he should have in our hearts, that is an idol. And a survey was conducted recently about what idols exist among churchgoers. And the findings might be a bit surprising. So we're going to talk about those today. For links to the story that we're talking about and some other related materials, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/1103-22. So now for our story this week. Pastors identify modern day idols. Comfort tops the list. From Lifeway Research, it says idols don't always come in the form of carved statues or reside in places of worship. Many pastors believe modern-day idols can be benign-looking desires with significant influence on people in their congregations. According to a study from Lifeway Research, more than half of U.S. Protestant pastors believe comfort at 67%, control or security at 56%, money 55%, and approval at 51% are idols that have significant influence on their congregations. When asked to choose the potential idol with the most sway over people in their churches, pastors again point to comfort 30% and control or security 20% above the others. Now, of course, this survey is reporting on opinions of so-called Protestant pastors. But there is likely going to be a good bit of similarity that we would find among brethren. And the article contains a chart that lists the top 8 modern day idols that are identified by these pastors. And this chart will be in the show notes if you want to see this, but I'll just run through this list quickly. Number 1 was comfort at 67%. 2 was control or security at 56%. Money was third at 55%. Approval, 51%. Then success, 49%, social influence, 46%, political power, 39%, and sex or romantic love, 32%. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about each one of those, but we're not going to get into that, be longer than what we normally discuss here on the podcast. But I want to start with the top of the list, at comfort at 67%. So, Christopher, are you surprised that this was at the top of the list, and do you see this as a problem in the church? And if so, how do you see this manifested in different ways?
Well, it's kind of interesting because almost all the other things are almost related to that one in their own way. In fact, I was looking at, you know, all the different ones listed there, whether it be control or money or approval or success, all of those things at some point kind of round up to that top one there, because we just really want everything to go our way. We want everything to be the way we want it to be. And even some of the other articles that we've been looking at that we might use in a future podcast almost come back to that notion. It's all about what I want, what's going to make me feel good. And so is this an idol in the church? well, to a certain degree, you can see it. And that's where we've got to examine ourselves and see whether or not we are placing our own comfort zone. And we use that phrase sometimes in place of what maybe needs to be done. So whether it's in relation to what the preacher is preaching on, is it making me uncomfortable? Or am I rather, do I need to hear the lesson? Are there some changes I need to make in my life? I don't want to go somewhere where they're going to make me feel uncomfortable. There, you know, even down to just the first world problems of having good AC and padded pews, you know, you could almost look at this in almost every aspect. When you think of people in other countries that, you know, you go over there and you visit and they're thirsting for the word and they'll travel a day. And then they're meeting in a house that's not necessarily even a house. Maybe it's a pole barn with a dirt floor, and they're happy to be there because they're there to study the Bible and, you know, listen to the word of God preached. And we can't hardly meet in a building with hard wood pews, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think as you were talking about that, it reminded me of the passage over in Revelation chapter 3, where you have the church at Laodicea, and where they were rebuked for, because they were lukewarm. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:16, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. But then in verse 17, it says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, but you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That they believed that they were completely self-sufficient, that they didn't need anything. They were comfortable. And that's really, this idea is that they were really in a state that they didn't really think that they had to improve. They didn't have to change. We wouldn't say this, and probably they wouldn't say this, but almost where they don't even need God. They don't even need the Lord, where they are just perfectly fine and perfectly comfortable on their own. And I think what you said there with, you know, with the preacher, it might say something that makes me uncomfortable, or we might have to sit through a worship service that longer than we, you know, we want it to be, because it's just not comfortable for us to do that. That's really this problem, where we don't realize how much we need those things. And so I think that's a good point there, where this is, you know, this is not a new problem, but this has been around for a while. With, you know, with Laodicea, you can go back to, you know, Amos chapter 6, where it talks about woe to those who are at ease in Zion. That's, you know, we're not called to an easy life here. I know in this country we have a lot of blessings, a lot of comforts and things like that, but that's not what the Christian life is about. We've been called to take up our cross and follow the Lord. So yeah, I think that this being number one, I'm not really surprised that this was seen as the number one thing on this list. Yeah, you have anything else to add on that?
Well, we're supposed to pick up our cross and follow him at least 30 minutes a week.
Yeah, at least that much. You know, if the preacher goes long, then 45 minutes. But yeah,
Then it's really a cross right there if he goes over 45 minutes.
Right. If I'm preaching, maybe it is going to be. But yeah, it's you know, this is a daily thing that, you know, we're not called for comfort, but we're called to follow Christ, whatever that entails. And that's sometimes going to make us uncomfortable.
One other thought too is, you know, even as it relates to the work of the church, there are going to be some things that need to be done that are not comfortable, you know, whether it be church discipline or even before it gets to that point, just having a conversation with somebody about a subject that you're probably awkward talking about, and they might even be more awkward. And instead of, you know, going past that and making those relationship stronger, it's out of my comfort zone. I'm going to let the preacher handle that, or the elders, or, you know, whoever.
Or just pretend like, or hope the problem goes away. And, you know, whenever you let problems like that fester and, you know, act like they're just going to, you know, just nothing's going to come of it, they, you know, they tend to build.
Want to keep our comfort at all costs, you know. And that goes along with these others, like for social influence or approval. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all kind of intertwined.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think all of this, I think you're right when you started that, you know, what you were talking about, where all of these are related really in one way or another to that comfort. But as we go on here, I wanted to ask this question, that was there anything on this list that was a surprise to you? We kind of read through it quickly, but as we looked at those, anything that you were surprised that was on the list, or maybe surprised at where it was on the list?
Well, you know, you almost have to have the mind of the one doing the poll to know the reason why they asked the question the way they did, or, you know, the way it's worded. But number seven there, political power. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how is that being an influence in the church? I'm not sure that it really is. Now, if you were to broaden it out and say just politics, maybe up until about a couple of years ago, there was a certain intensity involved. I think it's kind of backed off now that everything's kind of gone insane. But you know, actually that being vying for our loyalty over the church, political power, I'm not really seeing that among okay. people that I know. And so that 39% seemed like a high number.
Yeah, that was a, you know, you're right. You kind of wonder what they mean by, you know, how they word those mm-hmm. and how they word the answers. I assumed what that meant was them placing politics or, you know, that type of thing, political concerns over, you know, spiritual concerns. So sure. if that's what they mean, then I think you're right that it's not maybe what it was before. I think it, you know, still can be a problem. The thing that I noticed, or that I thought was a little bit surprised where it was approval. And not that I didn't think it belonged there, but I was surprised it wasn't higher on the list. That it was, and like you said, this kind of goes back to the how it relates to comfort, where you have, you know, we want people to, you know, approve of us because we want to feel comfortable with the way people, their opinions are of us. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, everyone, you know, young or old, deals with this issue of wanting the approval of others. That's why peer pressure is such a big deal. That's why we do the things that we do. But, you know, we get ourselves into trouble when we are just doing and deciding what we're going to do based on what other people think of us. Right. Galatians 1:10, Paul says that if I was trying to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. So to me, that was the one that, you know, if I was going to pick one that was kind of a surprise, it would be uh-huh. that, not that it's on the list, but that it wasn't a little bit higher on the list.
Sure. Or even social influence, which is right along with that, because with that approval would come maybe more influence. And I think I was looking at the notes for that, and the social influence was something that was bigger in larger congregations. And I think it was like over 250 members. And one thing I noted growing up in larger congregations, there would be cliques. And you'd have like people of the same socioeconomic status that, you know, tended to run in a herd together. And so there again was that vying for influence and social influence, and it was more like a social club in some ways, the way they interacted. And so that could be a really big thing. I do know that there are some mega churches in the area, and there's one in particular, which basically all the who's who, all the business, the owners of the community, you name it, they all go to that one mega church. And so I can see where, again, you know, maybe that's where the local politics would come into play, you know, the influence, social influence, approval, you know, everybody rubbing shoulders, rubbing elbows, and, you know, making deals and in the parking lot, you know.
Yeah. Where church is more of a, you know, way to make connections or way to network than it is for.
Exactly. You know, for, and that might be where that political.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. One thing that, what I thought about when I was reading or going through this list, about I was trying to think of what is not on there that I thought maybe should have been. And one of the things I thought of, and I'll run this by you and see what you thought, but one thing that I'd see with some people is that one of their idols that they have would be the church. And when I say that, I don't mean the church as in the Lord's church, but I mean their church. Because we know it's important that, or not just important, but vital that we are assembling with the church, as Hebrews 10:25 tells us, that we are to be an active member of the church, as you know, every part in Ephesians 4:16, every joint supplies causes the growth of the body. So we need to be part of the church. We need to be assembling. We need to be active. However, when the church, my church or their church, whatever it is, if that church is not faithfully following the Lord, is not doing what they ought to do, how many people would rather stick with their church because it's their church rather than try to see, well, what do we need to do to change this? Or maybe I'm going to have to go somewhere else because this church is not what it ought to be. And I need to be somewhere that is trying to do what is right and trying to stand for the truth. So that was one thing I thought of. I don't know if you think I'm off base on that or not.
Wow, that is actually a really good one. And I can give you an example. The church where, it's not impugning any of the folks there in that congregation. I'm just saying a good way to describe it would be, can you just imagine like maybe one, two, possibly three generations of your family worshiping in a given location? And maybe they even had a hand in building the building, putting the siding up, putting the roofing, the cedar tongue and groove ceiling, the pews, you know, everything hand, a lot of it handmade. The congregation I grew up in, you know, I can think of great aunts and uncles that had a hand in actually physically building the building. And there's a lot of heritage there if you think about it. And can you just imagine if you've been going there your whole life, you may be wed to the building. You may be wed to the structure because there are so many memories and so much sentimentality, you know, involved in that. And, you know, I might have to go down the street to another building and it's not home. That building is home. And those folks that I've known for many generations, that's home, that's family. You know, and maybe they're not all right, but that's my family and I'm going to stay there no matter what. And I'm, you know, I can see that as an influence in the Lord's church.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one thing that, you know, I don't know how many people would answer that way, or really, you know, these pastors who are answering the question, answering the survey, I don't know how many of them would point to something like that, but I just, it just seems like, you know, there's a tendency to, you know, just want to, and really this goes back to the comfort thing that we were talking about, mm-hmm. that we're comfortable with the status quo, that we've always been here. These are our people, that this is, as you said, sometimes, you know, you have, you know, ourselves or even family members who had a part in building the actual mm-hmm. building that the church is meeting in, that, you know, that we feel like that is the place we need to be. And if there are problems, if there are things that need to be corrected and, you know, it doesn't mean we should jump ship at the first sign of trouble. We can try to, you know, stick around and try to help. But when it gets to the point where, you know, there's no fixing this, or we don't have the influence to do that, we might be tempted to just ignore all this and stick around because this is, you know, this is my church, rather than thinking, well, what's, you know, what would the Lord want and where's his church? And maybe I may need to make sure that I'm with people who are part of his church.
Sure. And that just shows you where, you know, either conviction or lack thereof will enter in. You know, if you know that you're not going to have an influence on these folks, and as much as you may love them, and you're not willing to say, well, this practice or whatever it is not scriptural, and I can't endorse this, I can't, you know, bid Godspeed, then, you know, it may be hard, but it, you know, it depends. You know, Jesus says, if you love father, mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And he lists a whole bunch of different loved ones there. And he says, you need to, you know, you're denying me, you know?
Yep.
And some people won't do that. My wife's grandfather, he preached overseas after he got married and moved away. And many years later, he moved back. Or got to visit the area, and you know, the same congregation where he grew up was no longer practicing the same things that they were when he was there, and so he could no longer worship there because they had, and you know, incorporated a lot of new unscriptural practices, and they're good folks and they're wonderful. And if they were watching this video, I love them, but there are some things which they practice, which are not scriptural. And, he had to make a choice not to worship there. And yet there's still family that have been there since he left back in the early 50s or 60s, he's passed away now, but, the same family, same family property, and they're still going to the same church building, but the practices are not the same as they were back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. Well, and that's just another reminder, it's kind of gets a little bit off topic. We won't get into it now here, but,
sure.
But the churches do not stay the same. Mm-hmm. And the church that is sound now, or maybe was sound a generation ago, may not be in the future. And
so we can't let it be an idol.
Right.
We can't let it be where we're going to stay here and just dog it. And we've got to be willing to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter where it is. It's just going to be in spirit and in truth.
Right. Yeah. So all of these idols that, we've talked about here, or ones that also on the list that we didn't really discuss, all of those are things that I believe that we do need to watch for, and we do need to be careful for. Us. John ended his first letter in 1 John 5:21 with the admonition to little children, guard yourself from idols. And as we talked about, these may not be carved out of wood or stone, but they can be just as damaging to our spiritual well-being, because it means we are putting something ahead of God or in the place of God in our hearts or in our allegiance or in the things that what we're loyal to. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 that no one can serve two masters. So we need to make a choice whether we're putting comfort over God, we're putting the church that we happen to be a part of over being faithful to the Lord, whatever it might be. We need to make sure that we are following God completely and not allowing these things to stand in the way. So do you have anything to add before we close out today?
I was just thinking of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where he said to test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. And so we must be willing to examine ourselves. And if any of these things are having an effect in our life, we need to be willing to examine it, point it out, and deal with it, and not allow those things to take away our affection and our loyalty to God. I mean, because that's the whole point. These are modern day idols that we're worshiping at the expense of our service and faithfulness to God.
Right, right. Good points. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other relevant links that I'll include in there also, you can visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/1103/22. And I didn't mention this earlier, but we are also trying something new since we're recording this on Zoom. We've got the video, so I'll also be posting this on the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you want to look at our smiling faces, then you can check it out on YouTube. And if you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who you think would be interested in this, that would be appreciated. And if you see a news story or some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, you can email that link to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. I always enjoy and appreciate getting those suggestions. But thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.